Empire Lines uncovers the unexpected, often two-way, flows of empires through art. Interdisciplinary thinkers use individual artworks as artifacts of imperial exchange, revealing the how and why of the monolith empire.
In this episode, Dr. Sonal Khulla sounds out how the long partition shapes Indian and Pakistani identities. Through Barney Abadi's 2016 audio installation, Memorial to Lost Words.
This is Barney Abadi's 8-channel sound installation, Memorial to Lost Words. First installed in Edinburgh in 2016, it has been seen and heard in Berlin, Sharjah, Chicago, and the Arms Gallery of the Lahore Museum in Pakistan as part of the city's inaugural Lahore Biennale in 2018. Above the Arms Gallery is one dedicated to the national history of Pakistan, a country created 75 years ago by the partition of British India. On his first visit to India in July 1947, Cyril Radcliffe, a British lawyer, divided the provinces of Punjab and Bengal along religious lines. 1947 witnessed one of many partitions in 20th century South Asia, among them the partition of Bengal in 1905 and the partition of Pakistan in 1971 with the Bangladesh War. Struggles for power, freedom, and sovereignty continue across South Asia, in Assam, Kashmir, Balochistan, and the Chittagong Hill Tracts. As the historian Aisha Jalal notes, partition carries on. Empire carries on too, in monuments and memory, material and immaterial expressions, artist words and works. Memorial to Lost Words explores India's role in the First World War and what wars, empires, nations, and partitions mean for ordinary people. Born in Karachi in 1971, trained in Lahore and Chicago, Abadi has lived in New Delhi and been based in Berlin since 2011. Her art refers to everyday life in the cities of South Asia, flying kites, eating kebabs, meeting in parks, training for a competition, practicing an instrument, attending funerals, marching in processions, navigating security barriers, and being held up by motorcades. Such activities are structured by power, by colonial monuments, national leaders, disappearing cinemas and libraries, and disappeared artists and intellectuals. Abadi is intrigued by these historical effects of empire and the long partition. To use historian Vazira Zamindar's phrase, for processes of division in South Asia that extend beyond 1947. Imperial legacies abound in Lahore, the cultural center of an undivided Punjab and site of the National College of Arts where Abadi studied. It was formerly the Mayo School of Industrial Arts, established by the British in 1875 to retrain artisans. The art school stands next door to the Lahore Museum. Established in 1865, the Lahore Museum figures in Rudyard Kipling's 1901 novel, Kim, as the Ajaib Ghar, or Wonder House, with a great gun called the Zamzama. Kipling's narrator proclaims, "Who hold the Zamzama, that fire-breathing dragon, hold the Punjab, for the great green bronze piece is always the conqueror's loot." The Zamzama, a bore cannon with Persian inscriptions, attests to the place of Punjab between Afghan, Mughal, Sikh, and British empires. Commissioned by Afghan King Ahmad Shah Durrani around 1757, the Zamzama was acquired by Sikh Maharaja Ranjit Singh in 1802. It changed hands many times in between. For rulers of Punjab, the Zamzama was a symbol of military strength and masculinity. Standing outside the Lahore Museum today, it suggests how war and empire shape our culture. At that museum in 2018, Memorial to Lost Words remembered over 1 million Indian soldiers who served in the British Indian Army during the First World War. It featured music arranged by Saad Sultan and Ali Aftab Saeed, with original lyrics by the poet and activist Amarjeet Chandan, and a Punjabi folk song, Navaj, Navaj Dholan Yar, performed by Ismat, Zainab, and Salima Javad of Har Sakhiyan, three sisters in Lahore. While the male voice performs a lament for his lost country and loved ones, the female voices conjure what Abadi has called a different realm, that of the home and the village from which all the young men were taken away. Some of these men never returned home. Their letters, in North Indian languages such as Punjabi, Urdu, and Hindi, were censored and translated into English by British authorities. Many survive in the British Library in London. One of them, by Rulda Singh, to his family reads, "It is like my train never left our village station. I am still there, saying goodbye. It is as if the whole village traveled with me across the seas. God willing, I'll be home soon, in no time. You'll see." A Sikh soldier writes to his father from Brighton Hospital in January 1915, "Tell my mother not to go wandering madly because her son, my brother, is dead. It is a fine thing to die far away from home. A saint said this, and as he was a good man, it must be true." From Punjab, Ali Haider writes to Risaldar Jamadar Dost Muhammad Khan in France, "Letters are often examined on the way to you and opened in order that nothing improper may be written. This arrangement is a good one in some respects, but although our lives and property are at the disposal of the government, they cannot trust us. Well, it is our duty to serve the government faithfully, whatever they think of us." When Memorial to Lost Words was first shown in 2016 at Old Royal High School, a 19th century neoclassical building in Scotland, Abadi presented English language translations of these letters alongside the transcript of an old Punjabi folk song. "Flowers are withering and friendships are breaking. Don't go. Don't go. Stay here, my friend. O beloved, Allah gives bread and work under the cool shade of your own land. Don't go. Don't go. Stay here, my friend." No text was on display in Lahore. Audiences there did not need the letters or songs translated. Even I, with my imperfect Punjabi, understood them perfectly. Punjab was a recruiting ground for the British Army. After the anti-colonial rebellion of 1857, Punjabis were deemed members of martial races and potential loyalists to the British Crown. The militarization of Punjab between two world wars contributed to partition violence when millions were abducted, assaulted, tortured, raped, murdered, and silenced. As South Asians migrated across new national borders in 1947, Punjab experienced the worst violence. Special trains carrying refugees to the other side were burned and passengers slaughtered. Women were violated, often by their own families. Bands of men organized looting and land grabs. That violence, a result of war and empire, reverberates in homes, streets, cultural memory, and social life. Abadi's memorial to forgotten soldiers and their friends and families is unlike permanent, spectacular war memorials sponsored by states. Take India Gate in New Delhi, originally the All India War Memorial designed by British architect Edwin Lutyens to commemorate 84,000 soldiers of the British Indian Army who died during the First World War. Built in the 1920s, its neoclassical form evokes other symbols of war and empire, the Arch of Constantine in Rome and the Arc de Triomphe in Paris. India Gate is the center of an annual Republic Day parade, which marks the adoption of independent India's constitution in 1950. The parade features militaristic displays and performances along Rajpath, formerly the Imperial Kingsway, a road that links major government offices and institutions. Such uses of the monument celebrate state power and great men. By contrast, Abadi's counter monument honors ordinary civilians and foot soldiers, not generals and rulers. At the Lahore Museum, Abadi surrounds a larger-than-life-size bronze sculpture of Queen Victoria with voices of colonial subjects and bodies of post-colonial subjects. Seated on a throne-like chair, the queen holds an orb and scepter in her hands, signs of imperial and divine power. Cast by Australian sculptor Sir Edgar Bertram McKennell in 1900, the sculpture was unveiled in 1902 to mark Queen Victoria's Silver Jubilee as the first Empress of India. It occupied a marble pavilion in Lahore's Charing Cross, an intersection named after the one in London. The statue of the Queen was replaced by a model of the Quran in 1951. It was relocated again from the Punjab Assembly Building to the Lahore Museum in 1974. In that museum's arms gallery in 2018, the Empress was unremarkable against daggers, rifles, swords, and shields, the main attractions for many visitors. Others passed by her to reach galleries of painting, sculpture, textiles, and coins. Like people, the objects in those galleries, too, were partitioned in 1947, when museum collections were divided between India and Pakistan. On a visit to Lahore, Indian Arts Administrator V.N. Singh noted that one foot of a Gandharan Buddha resides in Chandigarh, the capital of Indian Punjab, and the other in Lahore, the capital of Pakistani Punjab. This Buddha's partitioned body bears traces of the ancient Kushan Empire and the modern British Empire. Monuments and memorials matter, as the Lahore Museum and contemporary movements across the post-colonial world remind us. Roads Must Fall, a campaign in South Africa to decolonize education and end institutional racism, began at the University of Cape Town in 2015 and spread across the world, with related movements emerging at Berkeley, Harvard, and Edinburgh, the original venue for Abadi's sound installation. Fees must fall, protesters in Cape Town insisted, along with the statue on campus of Cecil John Rhodes, 19th century British politician, mining entrepreneur, and empire builder in Southern Africa. That bronze sculpture of Rhodes was created by British artist Marion Walgate in 1934 with encouragement from Lord George Curzon, the Viceroy of India. It bore an inscription from the Song of the Cities, a poem by Rudyard Kipling. Walgate's sculpture was brought down in April 2015, leaving behind an empty plinth. While Memorial to Lost Words does not call for the removal of statues, it resonates with global efforts to decolonize our imaginations and institutions, to place art and empire in a dialogue, to write history and show culture differently. It exemplifies what I call everyday partitions, a strategy by which South Asian artists dislocate partition from a fixed point in the past and recast it as an incomplete process. In their art, partition is recurring, performative, intimate, and mundane, rather than exceptional. In Memorial to Lost Words, partition is an ongoing condition, not a wound that has been healed. In his 1988 novel, The Shadow Lines, Amitabh Ghosh writes, "It is this that sets apart the 1,000,000,000 people of the subcontinent from the rest of the world. Not language, not food, not music. It is the special quality of loneliness that grows out of the fear of the war between oneself and one's image in the mirror. Seeing a stranger in the mirror is an enduring legacy of empire in South Asia and a source of connection among South Asians, ideas worth remembering on this 75th anniversary of partition. Memorial to Lost Words holds a mirror to our division and collectivity, to being near and far, here and there, lost and found. Bani Abidi is one of many artists from South Asia who feature in my forthcoming book, The Art of Dislocation, exploring how we live with and look at each other. From the ruins of wars, empires, nations, and partitions, artists make new forms of life, culture, and community.
This episode is part of Empire Line's partition season, marking the 75-year anniversary of the partition of British India in August 1947, which led to the formation of India and Pakistan. You can listen to the other episode with Dr. Nalini Iyer. Just see the episode notes for links. Empire Lines is produced by Yelena Sofronievich. For more episodes, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.